Brady Smith DDS. Holla at Brady Smith.
All right, everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Drill with Dr. Brady podcast. I'm Dr. Brady. We got a good one here. This one I think is going to benefit a lot of people, giving some people some understanding of a very difficult part of dentistry, especially for dentists, but definitely a very difficult part of dentistry for patients as well. One of the biggest things we get complaints about as a dentist are dentures. Hands down, dentures are definitely in the top tier of things that patients aren't happy with sometimes when the finished product is done, and definitely during the process. So I brought on someone who I've been working with very closely for the last 5-6 years. He is the denturist that I use here locally in Camas, Washington. He runs a denture clinic called Evergreen Denture Center, located here in Vancouver. Just opening this week, a new location right next to our new location. We are going to be neighbors. Vadim, I cannot say your last name. How are you doing?
I'm great. Dr. Brady, thanks for having me.
Let me try. Zalyashko.
That's right. You got it.
No, it wasn't. You're being nice to me.
No, that is.
That's it. Zalyashko.
Zalyashko, yep.
Nailed it. No one can say either of my names right like the first 10 months they've known me.
Listen, names and words are hard, guys. But Vadim, thank you for coming on Drill. I don't know why I haven't had you on sooner, because the relationship that we have developed here has been, I would say, mutually beneficial. I'm gonna describe today how this has been beneficial for me, and I want you to describe how it's been beneficial for you, because obviously we keep on collaborating every day, every month, every week. We are helping each other out and troubleshooting patients' problems. So, Vadim, the first thing I want to talk about is, what is the path? Like, what's your path to being a denturist? What is a denturist, and how do you get there?
Awesome. Great questions. Well, first of all, I'm honored to be on your podcast. Thank you. To make it simple, I just go by Vadim. I try to keep the last name out of it just for efficiency.
It's a good call.
So the pathway that I took, and what's out there for folks that are interested in pursuing this career, basically went to a college, a 2-year degree, got my associates here locally, actually, transferred to WSU thinking I was going to pursue science, 4-year science degree, perhaps doing a 4-year and then transferring to a dental school. And that's when I found out about a denture program up north. It's called Bates Technical College. It's a vocational school. Basically, it's a 2.5-year program. You need to have some prerequisites. You need to go through some examination. Once you're in the program, you finish the program, get your certification. After that, you do your state testing. There's the practical and the clinical exam. So you pass those and you get your license. So that's
your denturist license.
Yeah, the denturist license. Yeah. So there's obviously some schooling involved, and there's a state standard exam that you have to take and pass. And so they're making sure you know what you're doing. Obviously, it's important because you're dealing not only in a lab setting, but also in a clinical with the patients. So they need to know that you have the understanding of, what's a chair side etiquette and how you present cases and how you move forward with that.
So you are, it's a, does the vocational program require a 2-year degree or any kind of prior like college or undergrad work? Could you go into that program straight out of high school?
So you could probably apply straight out of high school. But one of the things they look for is if you have experience in dental laboratory, you'll get more points and you'll be able to, your application will be submitted on a tier. So you'll be applying in a sort of comparison to other applicants and kind of seeing where you're standing. So if you have more experience, if you pass your dexterity exam higher than the rest, those things will get you in the program quicker. If you have a bachelor's degree, that'll get you in quicker. It's on a point scale. So
I have a question. What is the dexterity exam? I got to know.
Good question.
So basically it wants to know during the dexterity exam is if you're okay with your fingers. They'll give you some little things to do on a piece of paper and you can sketch and it's time. So the quicker you do it, the quicker your fingers are able to move, the easier you are with your fingers and light with them too.
They don't interview my wife, do they? But I'm bummed.
It'd be a quick interview.
Listen, we got the terrible joke out of the way in the beginning. That's good.
There's more to come. There's plenty more where that came from.
Don't be fooled. We got lots. Okay. So you go through this. And then this vocational program is a 2-year program.
It's a 2-year program. We had folks that, you know, they struggled through. It takes them more than 2 years.
Okay.
I think I was a hair under 2 years when I finished, just because I was in there and ready to tear it up.
I would expect nothing less from you, Vadim. 2 years in now. Okay. So then once you're out, now here's what's tricky. You can create your own business. I draw a lot of analogies to like a dental hygienist who kind of does one thing, but a dental hygienist has to work underneath the supervision of a dentist. In most states, there are some states that allow dental hygienists to operate their own business as long as they stay within the scope of what they're allowed to practice. And so I feel like the insurists are not recognized in every state. In fact, they're only recognized in, I think it's like 8 or 9 states. Am I correct?
That's right.
So you're only recognized in a handful of states in the United States, but you can open your own office, operate your own small business, and treat patients staying within the scope of what a denturist can do. So what is it a denturist can and cannot do?
Absolutely. So that's what's really unique about this profession is, you know, after getting out of school, after passing all your examinations, you're able to go out there and open up your office. You don't need referrals from a dentist to see patients. But that doesn't say that you don't want to collaborate with dentists. That's something I can talk a little bit more down the line here. But kind of going back to your question is, after you get your license, after you're working, what is the scope of what we could do? Basically, it's everything that's removable. So dentures, partials, things that come out of your mouth, something that we could take out and, you know, go in a lab, fabricate, you know, repair, things like that. So we can't work with soft tissue. We can't work with natural dentition. We can't, you know, do anything like that. Other aspect of our scope is we can't diagnose. So if we see something, for example, that looks in our eyes abnormal, what we need to do is we need to refer them out to a dentist.
So an example of that might be like someone looking to get a partial and they have teeth in their mouth that you don't think maybe aren't viable long term, and you obviously don't want to be making a partial on teeth that are bum teeth, right? So you have to get it. So do you know, and I, this is an interesting question, where does like the liability lie? Like for example, let's say a dentist says it's okay to make a partial, you make a partial, that person loses an anchor tooth, has to get a new partial, they become upset.
Hmm. Great question.
I assume the dentist who you're referring, that dentist is going to be the one whose diagnosis will be taken, right? As like liable.
So let's go back to the instance where somebody does present, you know, several missing teeth, they have natural dentition, they have some anchor teeth to work with. In that case, when I look in their mouth and I say, when was the last time you've been seen by a dentist? See, I don't need a red flag to ask that question. That's something I always ask. Yeah. Have you been seen by a dentist prior to this appointment? If they say, yes, I have, I've been there last week for cleaning, the dentist, he or she told me everything's okay, you can move forward with the partial, then that tells me that we're on the same page. If they tell me and I look in their mouth, everything looks okay, and they tell me I haven't been to a dentist for 5-10 years, then that's the next thing for me, is I ask them to go see a dentist for a checkup, do an examination, see what, as I don't have x-ray vision. I tell them that all the time. They believe me. I look in there, I'm like, look, I can't tell what's inside there, but let's
go.
You
can't leap tall buildings in a single bound. That's what you're telling me right now.
Not yet. I'm only 8 years in. Maybe.
Okay, maybe later. Okay, I got you.
Yes, but that's when I send them to, you know, a dentist that actually I ask them, hey, do you have a dentist? If they tell me they do, I ask them to go, if they're comfortable, to that dentist. But if they tell me they don't and they would like a referral, that's when I have recommendations for them in that regard. So the idea here is,
who do you recommend them to?
Here, let me get my phone book out.
Yeah. Do you have a Rolodex? Can we see it?
Yeah. No, obviously, you know, after a while, you get a reputation with several dentists in town. You know the work, you experience, you know, their customer service, their work. You build relationships in town. So you kind of establish a relationship, and you want this patient to experience that as well. You know, at the end of the day, what really matters is their experience and that they get the best treatment.
And that's a good segue into exactly why I decided to utilize denturists, because I would suspect, in fact, I know a lot of dentists do not want to delegate that out to someone who's not a dentist. A lot of dentists are maybe not so supportive of that being, under the scope of a non-licensed dentist or a licensed denturist instead. And I couldn't disagree with that more. I love this relationship because for most dentists, dentures are a source of problems. And part of the reason why, and I can only speak to myself, is that, you know, we do so many other procedures. It's really hard to focus on dentures, and dentures require, gosh, a lot of visits sometimes, a lot of adjusting, a lot of complaining from patients, and a lot of back and forth where you got to bring people in and tweak certain things. Mm-hmm. And to most dentists, it just seems like such a drain on their schedule. And also, dentists, in many cases, don't take the time to become super proficient at it to minimize the amount of redos and adjustments and relines that have to happen. So because they, you know, basically a dentist becomes, in a lot of situations, a middleman. A dentist is simply, I'm going to take a couple of impressions, I'm going to send this off to my lab. My lab is going to make the denture in a better freaking fit, because if it doesn't, I'm going to blame my lab. I don't know, you know, most dentists haven't waxed up a denture since dental school. I have not waxed up a denture since dental school. And, you know, you put a lot of trust in the lab. But for the patient's perspective, they should know it's almost always the lab. So what's cool about a denturist is that you guys are the chairside clinician, and you guys are the in-house lab most of the time. You guys do that all in-house. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that laser sharp focus that you're referring to is pretty much our go-to, our forte. That's our strong spot. Having a laboratory on site is a huge, huge benefit. A couple things. You're not sending out the partial or a denture for a refitment or a retry, right? Shipping takes, I don't know where you're shipping, but it takes a couple days. If, let's say, you're doing a try-in, you're trying in the teeth and the bite is off, okay? or the slant, the horizontal slant, or you're showing too much tooth, or you want to give it a little rotation to a lateral to give it more character. Those little things sometimes can be done chair side. You know, I'll take the wax denture out of the mouth, I'll clean it, sterilize it, take it to the lab, put in the articulator, be able to fine tune make those little corrections, bring it back to the patient, try it in, and right there in one visit, I can make those corrections and have the patient leaving knowing what they're going to expect at the delivery appointment.
I've seen it many times. I've actually literally been there while you've done that many a time. Well, at this point. Yeah.
Lowell has an honorary DDS degree. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes, Brady made it for me with crayons. Issued, construction
issued paper. By the University of Dr. Brady.
I see that plaque in the background, Lowell.
Yeah, it's crayons, construction paper. It's great.
We should make Lowell an honorary DDS degree. He knows way too much about dentistry for someone who's never been to dental school. That's for sure. He's not classically trained, let's just say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have seen a tooth pulled, not in a dentist's office. So I guess that helps. Yes.
Interesting. Okay. Put a pin in that story. I want to hear that in a second.
Yeah. Okay.
So one thing I want to talk about, I think dentists will find this interesting. And we're going to get to some patient specific information because we want this to, I really want to get into how patients benefit from this relationship and just use our relationship as an example, Vadim. Like I use Vadim for 100% of my removable cases. So dentures, partials, I don't do anything in my office anymore. And that happened, I made that switch in about 2015, maybe 2000. Was doing was I recognized that dentures were such a pain point for me that I decided I wasn't going to do dentures anymore. And then I started looking for other options and I found Vadim. I started talking to Vadim and I actually was using a couple different denturists in the area at first. For my business, was that chairside time was opened up, right? So now I'm not doing dentures anymore. I'm pulling teeth and I'm also placing implants, but I'm not doing the restoration. So I'm not attaching the locator abutments or the implants to the denture myself. Take some impressions. They'll make the teeth. And then people come into my office and I take their teeth out and I put these dentures back in. I might make a couple little adjustments if I see some easy ones to make, but then the next visit, I think, what's our protocol, Vadim? I think the next day, the next business day, patients are coming to see you.
Absolutely. It would call it a 24-hour check.
Yeah.
So
I think it's
the dentures would be, what if I refer, you know, you just mentioned, I got to send my patients to dentists from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
What if the dentists offer dentures as part of their services? You may not see that patient come back. My patient might get like, you know, and patients, to be fair, this is probably the only downside. To an oral surgeon. They don't like it if I refer them to an endodontist. They don't like it if I refer to a periodontist. Patients prefer that everything's done in-house as long as it can be done competently. And I'm the first to tell my patients, I am not going to be able to do your dentures competently. You got to go to Vadim. He's going to be the guy who does this. But Vadim and Evergreen Denture Center, what's great and what we've been doing over the years is that we got these systems down that patients just go through the whole system like a well-oiled machine, like clockwork. And Vadim will send patients to me that go to them first and maybe are looking to do implants. So Vadim becomes a source of implant referrals for me as a dentist, which if you're a dentist listening to this and you have denturis in your state, listen, it's a great resource because Vadim can't do implants, but he sees a lot of people who are needing dentures. And these are the people who need implants the most, and a quick source or a quick referral source to someone who places implants makes it a slam dunk case. And I assume that's better for you also, Vadim, if you're able to put have implants supported in it. That's a lower denture with implants has got to be preferable to a lower denture without implants.
Oh, hands down. Absolutely. All day long. We talk about implants. We talk about these options throughout the whole day, starting with the girls and the receptionists in the front to myself and my brother Slavik, who's also a denturist. We drill these implants all day long because they work. Because at the end of the day, you know, a loose lower denture, that's just how it's going to be. Once that patient moves the next phase into the implant retained denture, whether it's a bar or it's locators, guess what? You're opening up a new horizon for them. All of a sudden, they're able to chew. We're able to put a stronger tooth in there. We're able to reinforce that denture. And all of a sudden, it's we never hear back from the patient. They're gone. Yeah. And it's like, we've been dealing with you for the last couple of years with your ill-fitting lower denture. And since you've had these implants, just, you know, sometimes two locators, sometimes three or four, we haven't heard back after your second denture was made. Well, because there's no issues. So that's happening over and over and over again. These cases with the lower denture, especially, there's significant improvements.
Yeah. Lower dentures. I tell patients, here's my spiel to patients. Lower dentures are the number one most complained about thing in dentistry.
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree with that from what you see. A lower denture is the number one complained about procedure that dentists do. I don't believe there's another procedure with higher complaint percentage. And I tell my patients, you have to know some things about a lower denture, even if it's done technically perfect, 100% technically perfect, no mistakes made, dialed in, impressions were immaculate, everything was done, bites perfect, nothing wrong with it, teeth look great. You may still hate this denture so much that it'll, you know, be a constant source of aggravation for you. And implants take that problem away.
We had that done to my father, and he had that done. He sings praises higher than anybody. I mean, he says he does not miss his real teeth. These are way better. They come out, you know, like they don't hurt. If they get bother him, he takes them out. I mean, like that's, you know, like, it doesn't get much better than that.
Is I stop them. I say, do you have any friends or family that have a lower denture? And if they say yes, then I say, okay, if you're comfortable, go ask them how they feel about their lower denture. Just get, you know, don't take me my word for it. I'm a dentist and I'm biased. Go find someone within your circle of friends who will shoot you straight and ask them about their experience. Secured inside their mouth doing a couple of, you know, 2 to 4 implants. And I'm sure that, like, you know, near 100% of people would be like, absolutely. It's probably one of the best investments you could make as a patient. If you're looking for, you know, teeth options and you're out of lower teeth. And when you explain it that way, so, you know, I don't know if that's a similar approach that you take, Vadim. Are you as doom and gloom with the lower denture conversation, or are you more optimistic with your description, or are you kind of right where I'm at?
Let me tell you, that's a great question. Let me tell you how I approach this. When I started being a denturist years ago, I used to approach this more carefully. I used to sugarcoat things and say, you know what, I'll do the best I can. This lower denture, the upper denture, it's going to fit really well. Trust me, I'm going to do the best work for you. And guess what? I did try my best. I did go above and beyond. I thought I was doing the best possible work. But guess what? At the end of the day, that lower denture was still a lower denture. Mm-hmm. Nothing really changed. Even though I was thinking I was presenting them with the best possible product, guess what? I wasn't being truthful to them. You know why? Because I didn't tell them in the beginning what to expect. My expectations were way, way up here. And I wasn't able to achieve that because we were on the same page. The way I see it now, I approach it. Even today, I had a patient. I walked in there and the lower ridge was moderate to severe resorption. And I said, look, I'm going to do the best impression I can. I'll do the best bite. I'll do all the procedures, all the appointments correctly, but your lower denture is still going to be loose. And it's going to be loose for these reasons. And I started telling them the reasons why, based on what I was seeing in their mouth. That opened up a really good conversation because they saw that I was truthful. They saw that I was looking out for their best interest. That opened up another conversation. They wanted to know their options. They said, okay, now that you tell me that my lower denture is going to be loose, what am I looking at? Am I going to have to use adhesive? Am I going to
answer yes?
Can I go back to a dentist and maybe they could add a little bit more bone in there, you know, do some procedure there? Can I get implants? Those conversations need to happen because they're real, they're truthful, and they're exactly what's going to happen once the denture is made, right? So I felt comfortable after that appointment, knowing that the patient and myself, we were on the same page.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned kind of you experienced maybe sugarcoating it maybe was not the best approach because expectations become really high and then you fall short of that because, like you said, at the end of the day, it's still a lower denture. So it's one thing that patients need to understand is that they are the number one most complained about procedure in all of dentistry, have been since the day, since the first day of dentistry, and they will be until the end of time. But with the advent of implants, it becomes kind of an amazing opportunity for people to have that ability to chew restored. Okay.
If you think about the history of like these implants or these dentures and stuff, and then like I just recently looked at some pictures of like dentures from the 18th century. I mean, we've come a long way. It's not sheath teeth and wire anymore. It's you know, so I mean, the lower denture might not fit so well, but at least it's not sheep's teeth. Just saying, that's a plus, a good side. Good point.
Continue. Yeah. You know, here's something cool. Vadim, you do premium teeth. Let's talk about that for a second. Teeth don't have to be, I think people think dentures and they think these like plastic teeth, but give us a little bit of a, like what does a patient have an option to do as far as like upgrading the kind of teeth that they use on their dentures?
Yeah, great. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about. Providing patients with options when it concerns even implants, you know, they want to know options. And when concerning even the type of tooth we're going to use. So when they come in, I say, this is the type of tooth. This is the shade. This is what I recommend to you. If they say, you know, well, at that point, I actually present them three different options. We have our basic entry level set. Then we have our middle and then the premium. Really love the premium. They look absolutely phenomenal. We order them and they're four layered composite cross-linked teeth. They have a wear over 10 years, 10 to 15 years. See, you don't want to wear dentures for, you know, they're not designed to be in your mouth forever, right? So when you design a set of dentures, right, it's a good idea over time is to have them replaced, right? Your bone gets resorbed. You know, there's changes that happen and you don't want to keep that denture for 20, 30 years. I had a patient one time that showed up with a porcelain set. Okay. She was wearing these teeth for 30 years and the teeth on the denture looked immaculate. They looked perfect from the day one she got them. And so she was excited because she saved so much money on getting herself, you know, the sets in between. And when she showed it to me and I looked in her mouth, right there, I realized, you know, how much the mouth has changed, but the denture stayed the same, right? In porcelain, it has, you know, it breaks down the bone quite significantly because it's the hardest material we have. So,
having porcelain teeth will result in more bone loss?
That's right.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah, so it's a really hard material, right? There's no wear. Whereas a composite material or an acrylic tooth or a plastic tooth will have a wear to it. So it'll wear down to a degree, right? We don't want these dentures to wear out in 2-3 years, but at the same time, we don't want them to be the same for 20-30 years for the sake of, you know, that those the when you grind, when you're grinding, when you're chewing, you know, all the impact has to be balanced out and it gets absorbed by the bone.
Something's got to give, pretty much.
Does that change if we're talking about implant supported over dentures? Because the implants take the hit instead of the denture mashing against the tissue. Does that make sense? Like if you did porcelain teeth on an overdenture sitting on 4 or 5 implants.
See, that's a different situation because it's one's tissue supported and the other one's implant bar supported. So it's a whole different situation. And so the displacement of the pressure is a lot different.
I would suspect less bone loss.
Versus, you know, going for the bone loss. So another aspect of implants is it actually preserves the bone from resorbing, right?
Right.
You being the dentist, you see this a lot more is when you place that implant in, somehow the implant protects the bone from getting resorbed, correct?
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating because it's kind of like the body, you're tricking the body and you have cells inside your bone that break down bone and cells that build bone back up. So if you think of like moving a tooth, like during braces, if you're moving a tooth through bone, you're putting pressure on the tooth. And what that does is it causes, directionally, it causes one side of the bone where that's surrounding the tooth to resorb. And then it causes a path behind it, behind the tooth, to essentially mineralize into more bone. So it's kind of this fascinating thing. But when you take teeth out, there's that signal no longer exists and bone will just disappear. The body kind of decides that this is wasted energy and we don't need all this bone there. So that's why you have little old ladies with these wispy thin ridges, wispy thin jaws, because they just kind of deteriorate over time.
There's some TikTok stars that have that too.
Yeah, you see people without their teeth in, and that they've been that way for a long time. Absolutely. And then once you put implants in, it kind of serves the purpose of like a root of a tooth. And when you have that impact going deep down into the bone, it kind of tricks the body into thinking, okay, we're still operating here. We need to preserve this bone because of this impact that we're feeling. It's no longer wasted energy to have this bone there. And so the bone stays a little more robust for a little bit longer period of time, usually long enough to allow people to ride off into the sunset with their implants in their mouth. So most people start living to like 150, which I'm sure Elon Musk is working on that. It's going to screw over all the dentists. We're all screwed if you figure it out. Well, we can't make teeth. We can barely make teeth last to like 80. So
think about the natural lifespan of humans. I mean, it's only been so till recent years that we've been living to like 80 to 100. I mean, think about like the Middle Ages. If you were like 35, you were like the village elder.
Right. And if you were the dentist,
we might need to get him on board.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to this topic. This is what I want to talk about. From a patient's perspective, what are the pros and the cons of getting their denture done by a denturist versus a dentist? What's the good thing? What's the bad thing? Are you guys cheaper? Are you about the same price? Except more insurance? Like what can we say? You know, we want to keep things honest. There's pros and cons, and it just probably depends on the person that you're talking to. Some people are just going to be like, I want to be seen by a dentist. I don't want to be seen by someone who's not a dentist. But we live in a world where you can get braces mailed to you now. You know, you can go online with Smile Direct Club and you can have braces mailed to your home. And they are, you know, they are very busy. So people are definitely open to like non-dentists doing traditionally dental procedures. So what do you think, Vadim, what are some pros and cons we can talk about that a patient would want to know about in going to see a denturist versus a dentist for denture needs?
Well, I think you touched bases in the beginning about the cons is not everything is not done under one roof, right?
Right.
You have that part of dentistry that you have to outsource. You have to allow the patient to travel to another location. That's, again, if somebody is unable to relocate easily and they have to get the services to help them with that, that might be an issue. Sure. But as far as I seriously think that there's more pros in having a denturist doing their specific role in dentistry. One of the reasons,
I agree, but for the record, I agree with you. I just want to, and I know you're biased because you're the denturist, so we want to recognize that bias, but still get your opinion, your thoughts on it, because you're at ground zero. You're doing it every day.
Convince
That's
me.
That's right. We're laser focused, guys. When somebody comes in here and they're having an issue with a prosthetic, we do this every day and all day. So between myself and my team, we've seen quite a few cases that we can stand back and say, wow, we're ready to tackle the next thing. We really do. So when they come in here, we approach each patient, right? We sit them in the chair. We explain to them. We have a really good system of where we educate them and give them options. When they're in the chair, we're able to show them the end result before they get the final product. In other words, during that trying appointment, if they look in the mirror and they say, well, it doesn't look, you know, right for these reasons. Well, we take that into account. We go in the lab 5-10 minutes later, we come out with a complete different setup.
By the way, in a traditional dental office, that would require days of shipping impression material or molds back and forth between the lab. Having the in-house lab and be able to make those quick adjustments that normally a lab would have to do, but you can do it there in your office, that's a huge benefit to patients because while that might delay you getting your final product for weeks at a traditional dental office, it would only delay you getting your final product for minutes at a denturist office.
So I was just mentioning a minute ago about, you know, saving the travel. Well, guess what? If we don't have a lab on site, they have to come back. That's more traveling for them. They have to, you know, if they're working, they have to call in and say, look, I have to have an extra appointment for another trying appointment. Having a lab on site, not only can you do a try-in at chair side, but you could also do repairs. You could do relines. Mm-hmm. You could do same day. If somebody walks in here, I had a gentleman, he was, he came rushing in at 3:30 yesterday. He had to be back at work in 30 minutes. He said, my tooth just broke off my denture. I need a fix. Can I pick it up tomorrow? I said, no, you're going to pick it up right now because we're going to get it done right now for you. So awesome. He waited. He was blown away. The guys in the back, they took the denture in. They stayed in a few minutes later because they had to all go home. They took care of the guy, gave him the teeth back. Slavik, the denturist, hopped in there, put a soft liner inside the denture just to make him comfortable. He was out the door. I heard about this because the girls gave him my cell phone number. He texted me. He said, hey, I appreciate you guys. You went above and beyond. It just happened yesterday. True story.
Yeah.
That's why this is how we set ourselves apart from the rest. Because somebody walks into the door, they have an issue to solve. They have a time frame. They have a family. They have a life to live. And they don't have time for us to send stuff out, to do things, you know, over the course of 4 to 6 weeks, 8 weeks. They got to get it done. Sometimes they're flying in sometimes. That patient that flew in from Texas, they were here for a couple of days. Well, guess what? You're going to get it done before you leave. So things like that, we have to accommodate the patient. At the end of the day, that's really what really matters.
Yeah. Price-wise, I would say from what I know, you guys are pretty comparable to a DDS office. Is that accurate?
Honestly, I haven't done any comparison, to be honest with you.
Let me interrupt you for a second. To begin with, a DDS office. So let's say you were just comparing DDS offices to DDS offices. You know, you can get crowns for $800 or you can get crowns for $2,000. So even within the DDS sphere, there's still a very wide range of pricing that makes it near impossible to say what's the average cost for a DDS crown or for a DDS denture. But I would say you are comparable in price, but definitely exceeding average in like how many you do, right? Because it's essentially removable is the only thing you guys are doing.
Absolutely. I would say we're pretty, you know, our prices are really respectable. We're able to work with you depending on the type of denture you want. You know, we have in-house, you know, credit care, things like that to work with that. We are open with all insurance companies that are open to working with the denturist. So.
Yeah, and that's been a pain point at some point, right? Because some insurance companies don't recognize you as someone that deserves to be paid by them.
In some instances, yes. That's exactly true. But I have to say, for the most part, we've been pretty blessed. We've been pretty good with as far as acquiring that relationship with the insurance companies and letting them know that we are here for the patient. Yeah. We're here to take care of them. Yes, they can't get their extractions done here. Yes, they can't get their fillings done, but guess what? We can get good prosthetics made for them here.
Well, soon the office that you put right next to the battleground office is technically under one roof. Just saying.
Hey, yeah. That's true.
Very well put.
That's true.
All a uni roof, like the Unitooth we talked about.
Now, those are pros and cons from the perspective of a patient. I would say the pro also is this. It's the only thing a denturist does. And there's something to be said for that. Because a dentist has a lot of procedures that they do. They do fillings, they do crowns, they do root canals, they pull teeth out, they do implants. There's a lot of orthodontics. They, you know, treat children. There's a lot of different things that we do. And so kind of a jack of all trades, master of none. Situation. Not that dentists can't be masters of all of it. I know a lot of dentists are probably listening to this being like, that jerk, Dr. Brady, I'm amazing at everything I do. What's he talking about? But the idea of just doing one thing and doing one thing very well is right in line with the way the rest of the dental world works. For example, pulling teeth is done by oral surgeons and implants. Endodontists only do root canals. That's it. So from the perspective of a dentist, but I wanted to talk a little bit about from the perspective of a dentist, going out of your way to talk to a denturist that might be local to you about collaborating in mutually beneficial ways, because that's something that I have benefited from tremendously just in the way that I practice dentistry. That's my own personal model since I started working with the dean. And, you know, I know dentists that when they send a root canal to be done, the endodontist is the root canal, and they want to be very sure that the endodontist puts a temporary material into the hole of the tooth where the root canal was done. Because when they come back to the dentist can get paid to put the permanent material in there. It's about the most simple procedure ever that endodontists don't do, because while it would be beneficial for the patient for them to do so, they don't do it because it's essentially stepping on the toes of the general dentist who would then be able to produce that dentistry and won't be. And so the endodontist is essentially taken away. This is an argument as old as time with dentists, is specialists kind of sniping their procedures. What's great working with a denturist is they legally cannot do an implant. They're not stealing implants from me. They can't do them. So the only thing they can do are specifically the things I'm trying to send out, right? I'm trying to do less dentures. I feel like, you know, they, for me personally, they were taking up too much time. I wasn't very good at them. I got super frustrated. I would see patients' names on my schedule days ahead of time and get super bent out of shape. But I just do not want to see this person anymore. I can't believe we're doing another realign. Can't believe they're not happy. I've bent over backwards for them. And you see that over and over as a dentist. What's been great for me, from my personal experience working with Vadim and Evergreen Denture Center, is just simply, he refers, like I said, it's a very, very sizable and constant source of referrals for implants and extractions to me, because the only people going to Vadim are people with missing teeth or soon to be missing teeth. And if you're a dentist who does implants, think about that for a second. Just use your little dental brains and think about that and why that relationship is like a slam dunk. It's unfortunate that denturists are not available in every state. I think they should be. I think patients benefit tremendously from going to a denturist because in my experience, they're competent. They're
attractive. Don't forget attractive.
They all have six pack abs. They can all bench press over 250 pounds. Every single one of them can. So, yeah.
I've seen this guy in a civilian clothes. He's looking nice.
Listen, Vadim is an attractive man. Let's not lie about that. I don't know about all denturists. I haven't met all of them. But, and so here's the other thing that happens too. The people that see me, Vadim does a really good job. And by the way, thank you for this. And I try to return the favor when I can. Vadim does a really good job of building me up for the patients I haven't met yet. He will tell patients how great Dr. Smith is. He will tell patients. So we got this really wonderful relationship because patients might be nervous about getting their teeth out. Patients might be nervous about getting implants. Vadim kind of sets those trepidations at ease before they even meet me. And I get people who I know are kind of eased into it because the Vadim had a good conversation with them first. And I likewise try, when I know I'm sending people over there to get dentures, I try to tell them, listen, they're great. They're fantastic. You are going to the best people to do the job. You're going to be well taken care of. I'm sorry that it's not done being done under one roof, but you know, you're in really good hands and you're probably going to save time, even though it seems like you're spending more time to go out of the way, but you're probably going to save time because they do everything right there. And it's a really easy sell. And they're also nervous about getting their dentures done. People are very nervous about what, I don't want to have fake teeth. Like people kind of look at dentures through an old school lens sometimes where they're like terrified that like everyone's going to know by looking at them. I tell people all the time, no, these guys will make it look natural. The way they put it in there, the way they measure things out, the way they take, you know, very fine care of like what the appearance and the way that, your lip relationship to your teeth and what that looks like. They're very, very hyper aware of all these things. So anyway, that's my pros and cons from the perspective of the patient and then also from the perspective of the dentist. I can't think of any cons. I tried really hard. I can't think of any cons besides the one we've already beat to death, which is it's just a different office, right?
Yeah.
It's just not, and patients really like to be treated in one office. They get thrilled when they're like, I can get implants. I don't have to go anywhere else. I can do it right here. They're like, yep. They're like, great. Fantastic. They love it.
I got a pro. I got a pro for this argument. My pro for this argument is if you go to Evergreen Denture Center, there is no extra charge for attractiveness or handsomeness.
That's amazing. And see, we charge for that over in my office.
Yeah.
I might need to reconsider that.
I do charge for that, but I also have options to do topless dentistry. No one's taking me up on that. Have I told you about my, hey Lowell, have I told you about my topless car wash idea?
No.
Okay. I brought this up at a staff meeting. You guys will like this story. I brought this up at a staff meeting. So I'm at a staff meeting and I've had this idea brewing. You know me, Lowell. I have ideas that brew. I get ideas all the time. And like, you know, 1 in 10 are good ideas. And the other ones, marginal.
I've had to talk you off the ledge more than once. I know.
Sometimes you push me over the ledge too. Sometimes you talk me down and sometimes you push me over. I think this is when you're going to push me over. So I said, it would be awesome to get all my team members, all my girls, all female office, to go on the corner on a nice summer day and do like a car wash for whatever charity, or we can put the money towards Halo or whatever we, you know, find some charity we can do. And have them all having signs, like they make signs that say topless car wash, confidential parking lot.
I know where this is going.
And then we get all these people coming in super excited because all these girls are on the corner saying topless car wash. And come in and it's Dr. Brady boobs. That's what you get.
I got some healthy ones right here.
Just some healthy Dr. Brady boobs washing your car. No top, maybe some jean shorts. I don't know.
I got some dudes that could volunteer for this. We could have like a group of just really gnarly dudes, like just washing.
Well, yeah. Now we're talking.
And I think I want to make it an annual event. But my team is like, we're all in. Like, just tell us when. We would all love to see this very much. We all really, really want this to happen. Please do it. So anyways, put that in our bank of really good ideas that I've had, Lowell. Write that down.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we might partner up with you on that one as well. Just keep us posted.
Don't make us look bad.
First, yeah, you and Slavic are first on my list, Vadim. We're going to get you guys out there.
See, that's a turnoff for me because they're going to make us look real bad.
That's true.
Really? Hey, way worse by comparison.
Listen, it's January right now. We have till summer to work on our dad bods and get that ready for the topless car wash.
I think it's
going to go over very well.
I totally am doing one of those fitness challenge things on the 22nd of this month for like three months.
Starts on the 22nd.
Yeah, it's for a 3 month long thing.
3 months.
Yeah. Wow.
I wish you well in your endeavors.
Yeah. It's just old age and good eating have completely contorted my body. So we're going to get that taken care of. It's on my list.
Nice.
Well, I did really want to talk about Lowell's body. I do want to go to another topic besides Lowell's body. Okay, so the theme this year is the selfish act of giving, and talking about giving and why we do that, and what are the consequences of giving, what are the pros and cons, why do we do that, why do we derive joy and pleasure from helping other people out. What I really liked about Vadim, when I first started talking with him, we were working together for a long time. Then I created Halo in late 2019. And I remember being really nervous because in order to get these Halo cases done, we needed help from people who could do prosthetics. So I remember taking Vadim out and talking. We had lunch one time and I thought like I had all my like ideas down of like, okay, here's the pitch. I'm going to pitch this to Vadim. I'm going to like tell him, here's the deal. Like, this is what we want to do. This is what I think the benefits are. And it was such a breath of fresh air because it took almost zero convincing to get Vadim to help us out on Halo cases. And he's helped us out on
most of them,
a lot, and all the ones local here that have required prosthetic work. I think he's been involved in every single one of them. So if you look at our Halo YouTube page, or if you look at our Halo Instagram, if you ever see some of the cases like Lee or Allison, Stevie, you know, Vadim and his brother Slavic and Evergreen Denture Center have been crucial in making these a home run for our patients and for Halo. So that's why I think it's been way overdue to have Vadim on the podcast to chat about this. But Vadim, I was surprised at how fast you just said, sure, I'm on board. So will you talk about, because that means to me, this must have already been an important part of your life, the idea of giving back and using your skills to help people who can't help themselves. And that this opportunity was just so already like in line with your philosophy and your belief system that you gravitated towards it immediately. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, quick question to you. Do you want the short answer or the long answer?
Ooh. I like long answers. I like long answers.
Awesome.
You like some long. So
I like the full background because I love hearing why people have decided this is important in their life. And if that requires a little bit of backstory, give it to us.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of what where I am at this time of my life. So back in 91, the family, I was 5 years old. We immigrated from another country. We came to the US, seven kids, with Ooh. Just two, my parents just had like two luggages with them, you know? And so this country definitely gave us an opportunity. One that, you know, you can have a good job, you can have a house, you can do well for your family. And a lot of what I've experienced growing up in my family was a lot of community and a lot of neighbors kind of pulling in. So imagine seven kids and two parents living in a 2-3 bedroom apartment, and neighbors are there, and they're kind of seeing this kind of weird family with lots of kids and not knowing how to speak English in the beginning. And then they're trying to find out what's their thing. What are they all about? And you notice a neighbor pulling in one time, backing up their car, open up their trunk lid and say, "Hey, call your mother over here." And our mother comes out. She looks and she says, and the gentleman says, "This is all for you." So he went to the store, bought a bunch of food, bunch of, you know, clothes, and says, "Here, this is for you guys." Nobody asked, nobody mentioned anything, but the people around started to catch on and started doing these good things. That really resonated with me, those things. And then I can remember quite a few instances like that when I was growing up. I was 7, 8, 9 years old. We didn't have much. And so when you grow up in a large family like that, you notice that you start notice those around you that might need a little help, need a little assisting. And so we don't ask why. Somebody comes and says, "Hey, there's a need." My parents taught us not to ask, you know, "Why did you get yourself in this predicament? You know, why do you need the help?" If you can, if you're able to help, if you're healthy, if you're well, go ahead and help them, you know. And don't think about what's going to happen to you. Don't wait that some good will come into your life right away. You might forget about it. But that's just the philosophy I grew up with. And thanks to my parents and God, you know, that's an important part of my life. Kind of brought me to where I am. So when the opportunities come, I'm not some super nice, you know, guy that wants to help the whole world. But
yeah, you are.
If somebody, if an instance comes and we cross paths, guess what? There's a reason why. And so I'll act on it if I'm able to. See, if I'm unable to help, then I'm unable to. So the opportunity that presented back in 2019 with the Halo case was just, it was a no-brainer because these people needed help. Dr. Brady wanted to go in there, extract some teeth, wanted us to go in, make, you know, immediate dentures for phase one and then do a phase two with some of them for an overdenture. That was great. That's something I did back then and still doing. And for me and my team to go ahead and jump on this opportunity was kind of no brainer. So I don't know. That's just something. Kind of looking back, that wasn't a hard decision to make. And I'm excited to be part of this.
That's you. Awesome. Yeah, I just love it. And those are the kind of people that we look for to join Halo, or the people who it's not a hard decision. It shouldn't be a hard decision. And if it is, you know, take some time and come to us when you're ready. And it's something that you want to do. And I could tell, like, right when I talked to you, it was like, it was obvious that you wanted to do it. You were excited about it. And it's been great. We've helped out a lot of people together and made, you know, a lot of life-changing, life-altering differences for a lot of people. And that's what's so amazing about dentistry, is that dentistry is like the superpower. It's like sometimes I do feel like it's a superpower that we have, that to take someone's life and dramatically change it, or change their confidence level, or give them their dignity back when that's been lost. And through just a smile, just making them smile and helping them able to eat and enjoy the little things in life that sometimes we take for granted until they're gone.
I think there's one other kind of cool point that's kind of, man, not necessarily been overlooked, but it's definitely a common theme I've seen in pretty much all three of us sitting here and other people that I've just noticed, is that when you do something nice for somebody, example, Vadim, when the gentleman had the bag full of groceries or had the car full of groceries and just gave them to you, the ripple effect that these kind of things have on people. And it's not necessarily something that's going to come back to you, but what you change in them and how that ripples out in their life. And maybe, you know, maybe they remember that just like you did, and they help somebody at some point that needs some help. You know, it's just, that's one of the magical things about this whole process for me, and just kind of being here for it, is that ripple effect that I get to see all the time, and just know that someday it's going to even be more. Ripples get bigger as they travel.
Ripple.
Absolutely.
Ripple it out.
Peace out, yo. I'm out. Mic drop.
I love it. So listen, I want to wrap things up. Vadim, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for your participation in Halo. I hope to, use portions of this podcast to inspire other dentists who are wanting to do this to help us out and help other people out. And by doing so, help themselves out. There's a lot of self-growth that happens through giving.
Lots of ripples.
Okay. Before we go, I would like, because this is a patient-facing dental podcast, and I believe to this day that it is the only patient-facing dental podcast. We are primarily concerned with giving patients a resource that they can find useful in navigating the world of dentistry, because they're the ones who get confused by all these mysterious things we do. Let's see if we can give the listeners one solid piece of advice. Pretend it's a family member of a Vadim. Someone comes and talks to you. Doesn't have to be denture related. Just what you know about dentistry. One piece of advice that you would give to anyone who's a consumer of dentistry.
Yeah, that's great. I'd probably go with, you know, one solid advice to the patient is something very simple, something that you and I both kind of touch bases on during this conversation, is I would ask the patients to ask the right questions. Ask the questions when they're at the consultation appointment. What do I mean by that? So when they are there talking to the dentist and the dentist presents a treatment plan, ask the questions. Ask them, hey, are all the teeth need to be extracted? Can we save some? What are my options with dentures? Am I a candidate for implants? You'd be surprised how many patients come to my office and they've never heard about implants. They never heard that there's something more, but just a standard denture. And so I believe that if you ask questions, they don't have to be the right questions. Just start asking questions. Hey, what are my options? You're telling me that I need to extract all the teeth. Can I save a couple? Are they infected? Can I do a gasket denture? Basically, save a couple molars in the back and make a denture that will fit any partial, right? Any partial will fit better than a full lower denture. For example, if you have any anchor teeth left, that partial will do better technically than a full denture. So again, I'm referring to healthy teeth. I don't want a patient to think that, okay, I have to leave a couple teeth just because some denturist told me to. But again, consult with your dentist. He or she will look at the exam, look at the x-rays, and both of you can look together and determine, okay, any of the teeth viable? What would it take for me to save a couple teeth? How much investing do I need to do from my end? You know, will the insurance, things like that, all those questions are okay. At the end of the day, you need to leave the office comfortable in the decision you made. I always tell patients, look, if you want a second opinion, I'm not going to be mad at you. If you want a second opinion, that's okay with me. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Yeah. What I want you is for you to be comfortable with this decision. I had patients that were in tears. They were sitting there with their full sets of dentures and saying, I can't believe it. the dentist that pulled the teeth said these dentures are going to be able to do everything my natural teeth did. And it's not to downgrade, you know, a dentist or the conversations. I'm just saying the conversations are not there. The questions are not being asked. And so what I'm asking is the patients is to ask the dentist, if you want a second opinion, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Listen, that's you're preaching to the choir, because that's one thing I always say too, is get a second opinion, get a third opinion. Keep asking questions until you got all your questions answered. And I can vouch for you as a dentist saying that I also see dozens and hundreds of people over my career that have not had things, well, let's say this. I don't know that they didn't have it properly explained. They did not understand what they needed to understand. They did not come to a level of understanding based on their previous encounters. So I don't want to blame the dentist. Maybe the dentist explained it, went over their head, they didn't understand it. By the time they get to me, I only know half the story. So, but I would say this, I see tons of people who have gone to dentists that have very little understanding of what their options are or have been. So that is something I can definitely concur with. Vadim, you have blessed us with your good looks, your great knowledge, your big old brain, and just your general pleasant demeanor. And we are very thankful for our relationship with Evergreen Denture Center. I can't make a higher recommendation to a dentist who has the ability to find and seek out denturists to find a mutually beneficial relationship, because this is, it's been wonderful from my end. And now, I don't know did I mention this in the podcast that you're moving next door to us at our new location? Did I mention that?
We've talked about it.
I don't know if I mentioned it in the podcast. I know I mentioned it before we pressed record, but we have another location in Battleground that we just opened up 3 months ago. And Vadim said, hey, I think I'll take a second location too. And guess what? He's right next door to us.
They're now technically under the same roof. We talked about
technically that. Under the same roof. That's right. He's not next door now. I'm not working at that location primarily, so I don't get the benefit, but I just can't imagine how awesome it would be to be like, oh yeah, I don't know exactly what this is going to look like, but go right next door and talk to Vadim. He'll help you out.
Maybe we should make a secret door. My office shares a wall with Evergreen. Maybe we could make a secret door. Maybe like travel between.
I'm waiting for Elon Musk to make those underground tunnels that teleport you in a tunnel underground. You know what I'm talking about? What are those things called?
The tubes.
Hyperlink? No, hyper space. Hyper
sonic.
Hyperbole. Hyper.
In the future, we will all travel in tubes.
Oh man. Okay. Well, hey, Vadim. Shout out to Denturists. Shout out to the help you do for so many people. It's a tremendous asset to me as a dentist to team up with a awesome denturist, and your team has been fantastic to work with. So grateful for that. Listen, that's all we got. Lowell, you got anything?
Well, I want to take a moment and thank you guys. Thank you for inviting me on this podcast. I really appreciate it. Really honored, actually, being part of kind of some of the things you're doing. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, we talked about being on the podcast, but I thought, man, I got room to grow. So I appreciate you gave me the opportunity.
I just got one final quick question for you. It's something I've been dying to know. Oh, and man, now that we got you on a podcast, I'm going to
ask,
what is, I know there's a lot of options and creativity that can go into the making of these dentures. What is the strangest request you've ever received?
Ooh, I like that question.
Ooh. Strangest request. Man. Well, every year on Halloween, I get that request, you know, every year, but that's not unique because I get it all the time.
You talking fangs? Like
those
like,
fangs, yeah.
Well, I had Brady give me fangs because I had a thinking fang that I tongue when I think, and if it wasn't there, I was licking nothing and it would just blew my mind.
Yeah, I'd have to revert to that one. That's pretty much the one that they're asking for, those big long fangs. And so I don't know.
I have one I can share. I've had a strange request. I had a young lady probably in her mid-30s go to dentures, and she wanted her lateral incisor on her upper denture to be gold, solid gold. Not solid gold, a window gold crown, which a window gold crown, sometimes you see these south of the border primarily, but you see just the outline of the lateral incisor is done in gold and the center of the incisor is tooth colored. Mm-hmm. She said, I want that on my lateral incisor. And I was like, why do you want that? She said, if it's gold, no one will think it's fake.
That's not, she's not wrong.
Yeah. Right. So I said, yeah, actually, we've done those. We've
I ran
done
the numbers I have a, and the logic is done, sound.
We've done, we put those gold teeth in people's dentures. Yeah. And that was the same mentality as, hey, if they looks, it looks gold, they look more natural, more real.
Well, but, sometimes you put little flaws. You put little flaws yeah. intentionally into the teeth. You don't want them super bright white. You want to age appropriate. Right. You know, you do kind of design features into teeth, which are like, you know, you want to maybe put some wear in there or something that makes it look a little more natural.
On the set that you did for one of our Halo patients, I did notice some very creative texture. So I was taking super up close photography and they looked so real because they had this like a natural kind of like bone ripple kind of, you know, like it just was blew my mind because I was so close and I was like using this macro lens and I was right up on it. They looked nice. Like super duper real.
I got to do a shout out to our boy technician, Mark Anuchin. He's killing it with those.
He's your new guy. He's your new guy, right?
He's been around, let's say, for the last 3 years. He is finishing up his denturist program here in the next couple months. But he is, when it comes to detail, he's the one that I ask for help.
He's the guy. That's absolutely awesome. Well, Vadim, thank you so much. If you have questions, Vadim is at Evergreen Denture Center in Vancouver, Washington. Do you guys have a social media at all?
We should.
Shout out.
You probably don't need it since I'm shoveling hundreds of patients at you every month.
But, we probably will have to get nominate one person to run the social media for us. But for now,
People have questions about denturists, is there a way they can reach you or get a hold of you? That's easy. Like an email or something.
Go to our website.
If they have questions about denturists at all.
Go to our website, go contact us, and then there's an email and there's a phone number you could call.
And what's your website?
EvergreenDentureCenter.com.
Perfect. Okay. EvergreenDentureCenter.com. Go to contact and you can get in touch with Vadim and ask him all of your denturist questions that me and Lowell forgot to ask. Once again, everybody, thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Please feel free to share this with anyone who may be thinking about dentures or a dentist who might be wondering about how to structure this into their business model. Appreciate you, Vadim. Appreciate you, Lowell. And we will see you guys next week for another episode of the Drill with Dr. Brady podcast.
Bye-bye.
Later. Bye-bye.